Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Stand back. There's a hurricane coming through.
Paul Kuharski with us for the next hour, talking all things Tennessee Titans. We'll have Jonathan Marchessault coming up at 8:40. New Nashville Predators forward. PK brought to you by A Moment's Peace Salon and Day Spa.
I know this would be a big production effort for Nick. But I know Nick's always up for a big extra production effort. I just feel like when Rexy isn't here, should erase him from all of that show entry stuff. And same for you when you're not here, though. I don't hold you in the same contempt because I feel like you're more worthy of vacation. Rexy's not here, like you should get rid of the biscuit and everything.
I agree.
And you should just get rid of the Robbie and Rex Road promo. Make it like it's not his show.
You know, Charles Robinson said the exact same thing.
Did
he? Just totally scrap him. When he's not here. I think we need to work on this.
That's straight out of the Mike and the Mad Dog playbook. I believe that
Mad Dog came back unexpectedly and that caused their divorce.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like Mike had a whole week planned and all of a sudden Dog is back and it just threw Mike into a
He couldn't handle it. He took me off all the
That was a divorce. That's like if you tell your wife, hey, I'm going on vacation with the boys this week, and she's like, cool. And then you end up home, and she's like, pissed.
If I recall
correctly. Why are you still here?
If I recall correctly, that when ESPN did like one of those mini docs on Mike and the Mad Dog, they were talking about how Francesa was on vacation, Russo was in alone, he changed the jingle, took Francesa out of the jingle, and Francesa was so pissed about it, he came back early.
I love it. Yeah. No, Nick, what you could do on the the graphics and stuff, like I'm not good at this either, but you have those things where you can erase, like just use your finger to erase, do a very crude erasing of the Rex Road part. Like where it's clear that like a child did it, and just put that up on all the
just
socials and
it
stuff.
Kuharski just screaming,
and then just stick like a mini me of me on there with like a spray paint can or something like that. It'd be terrific. I could help you. I've got some
Rex
time.
Rex Road had the pedal down coming back from Virginia. Yeah. Get this guy out of here.
He's turning the car around right now on the interstate.
I can help you with it. I've got nothing to do right now for the next 3 weeks. My wife is working so hard right now. And I mean, there's got to be the level of resent right now has to be so
pretty high.
She's working like she worked till like 9:30 last night. She came down and she was putting something in the dishwasher. And I'm like, are you actually done or are you taking another break? Meanwhile, she comes down at like noon and I'm asleep on the couch in front of the Euros. So I might as well be at the beach.
Hey, but 3 weeks from now. I mean, you're going to be going nonstop.
Right. Yeah, sweating. Yeah. And I'm working on my early hydration right now, sweetheart.
You're going to
reach
yelling
me a cup of water from the couch when you come down?
Yelling at everybody else about not following through with Titans media policies. Yeah. Heard about that?
I need this rest to get ready to be frustrated by the Titans media corps.
Are you a bucket hat guy?
It's not quite a bucket hat. It's bucket hat-like. It's a little bit bigger than a bucket hat. I had a little piece of cancer cut out of my face. I wear anything shamelessly.
Yeah.
I do not want to do that again.
No.
Sun protection is important.
Very absolutely. Important. You find that at the rink?
No.
I mean, Keyser looked like he was about to rob a bank yesterday in the rink with four jackets on.
I would hate to be cold.
I had shorts and t-shirt on yesterday. Doing it again today,
you're
baby.
Very tough.
Yeah.
It's especially hard in the summer just because it's so
ridiculous,
ungodly hot outside.
Yeah, and then you walk into the cold.
Right, but during the winter, you're already wearing all the winter stuff,
right? Peter Laviolette used to go flip-flops at the practice rink when it was 51 degrees inside there.
Was he in flip-flops when Stillman asked him for his autograph?
good question. I don't know.
I think he was probably suited up at that point.
You think so?
I guess.
I mean, Stillman's been told all the reasons this is inappropriate and still – thinks it's fine.
Do we know that that's the only time that Silly asked him for the autograph?
Nah,
it could have been
he obviously he's so close to him, but he couldn't get him at a private time. He had to get him at a official during a media window is when he had to get his great friend to sign the autograph.
Right.
taking your thoughts on the Titans. 615-737-1025, our phone number. How do you think the split is going to shake down? Because we've gotten a lot of different responses to this. When let's assume health, which is a dangerous thing to assume in the NFL, especially at the running back position. But let's assume health for a second. Between Pollard and Spears, what does an ideal split look like in terms of touches for those guys in your mind?
I mean, 50-50 would be great. It would mess everybody up fantasy-wise. And that's the number one reason you get the question. I get the question a lot from non-Titans people who are clearly fantasy people, and I've been on some fantasy shows. That's maybe their top question. What do you expect from Levis, A, so we could place him on our list, yep. And B, what's the split and who's going to score the touchdown? I do think my gut feeling is that Pollard is more likely to be short yardage.
Okay.
And short yardage is probably going to be goal line as well. But that's just an inkling.
Did you see enough from Spears last year to make you think that he's ready for a very significant workload this year?
I guess. Look, it's more about the fact that backs are dropped in around the league on a regular basis and go and do their thing than it is, you know. I mean, there was some good stuff from Spears last year. It was a little inconsistent, but he's in a very difficult situation running behind Derrick Henry. So, but the regularity with which we see backs dropped in around the league and have quick success – I saw enough from him to think that he could be a back like that if they're blocking reasonably well, and I think the blocking will be significantly better. So, I mean, the logic that they've presented for what they're doing at running back makes perfect sense. And now we just need to see them execute it. We need to see them both stay healthy. And I do think, and Callahan told Jim Wyatt and I this at the owners' meetings when I brought it up about niches developing. You know, he said at this point we're not thinking that way, but when we take the field and things start to flesh out, yeah, you would think some of those things would develop. That one would be maybe more the short yardage back, and one would be maybe more of the first down back, and things like that. And I think that makes sense. That somebody would start to get a little better at this or that and develop those roles, though you don't want to do it to the point where you're entirely predictable with it. But, you know, look, what's it matter if you're predictable on first down and a guy's taking the first down carries? And I think they also, you know, Randy Jordan, the running backs coach, said, you know, they're counting touches, not carries. And so I think that's significant. We're going to see how much they really throw the ball to these guys and how much it's a part of the offense. I expect it to be significant. We just talked about it. I think that's why a big reason why the percentage of throwing will be up.
Yep.
I think it's a big reason why Levis's completion percentage should be up significantly because he's throwing a lot more of those kind of passes. And, you know, I think if they can hit some home runs and open up things underneath, the running backs can get some significant yardage out of those kind of passes.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More coming up next with Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com. Rex wrote his texted in.
Oh, God.
Leave my biscuit alone is what Rex wrote says. That's all it says. Just leave my biscuit alone.
Are you driving? I drive and text too much too, Joe.
Kyle Tucker, friend of the show, tweeting in, says, I love when Kuharski's on. I just laugh all morning. Regular comedy genius over here, Paul Kuharski. We'll have more with him coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Adam Vingan, Nick Kieser, Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com with us here on the program. New Nashville Predators forward Jonathan Marchessault will join us at 8:40. So looking forward to that. Big week for the Preds. Marchessault coming up at 8:40 today on the show. Right now talking all things Tennessee Titans. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We've talked about the Callahan part of this in terms of the first-time play caller. Going to be really interesting to see stylistically what that looks like. You mentioned the shorter passes the shorter throws and that are basically glorified running game plays to get Levis more involved. And it's what the league is now. A lot of these plays that used to be runs are now short passes that try to get your playmakers out in space. You know, we've already had some people on YouTube asking about Chig and what his role could be. Do you think it's possible that Wiley gets more snaps than Chig does this year?
I do. And Mike Herndon's been a big forecaster of this, and there have been some indications from camp. Maybe more snaps. I don't know if it's more value snaps. You know, it's a size thing. The Titans are not giant at wide receiver. You're three wide, and, you know, Wiley's 6'7", and that gives you something big out there that changes the dynamic a little bit. That would include Chig being more of the third down guy.
Yep.
Which, you know, it's not a bad role. I wouldn't look at this as a demotion. I would look at it as if it pans out this way. And I don't think it'd be hard and fast, you know, but it could be packagey. But that Chig would be more featured. Again, you know, we were talking about third and five. Well, Chig could be a good third and five guy and a good yak guy. You know, Chig is going to break some tackles, and if he gets ahead of steam going, he can really do some damage after the catch if he's catching the ball on the move. You know, and I'm not as familiar with Boyd, you know, but some of these catches are going to be guys facing the quarterback at the sticks. And Chig could certainly make those kind of catches. But yep, if you throw to Chig on the move, it can accelerate pretty quickly. And it is a mismatch if he's in the secondary. He can bowl guys over and, you know, has a little bit of Delanie Walker in him when we've seen him at his best. Yep. And I don't – he's another guy. Look, you don't want to consistently blast the offensive coaches from the last couple of years. But they did not deploy – they were slow to deploy Chig based on what we saw from him at the end of his rookie year and then last year. When Phillips was out there, it didn't feel like they were using him the right way. These are things – look, it's early and it's happy season and all of that. But these are things that Brian Callahan was hired to fix.
Yep.
And I think it's fair to expect him to deploy these people – in a better fashion and in a way that Levis can really take advantage of them.
I would agree. And then the Ridley part, like Ridley in terms of, you know, we've talked about they need to get faster, and they've needed to get faster for a long time. And obviously he brings that. I'm curious, going back to what you said earlier, the plays he makes himself are the one thing, and he's getting paid to make plays here down the field. But what will the threat of him running down the field open up for the rest of the offense? Like that to me is also – assuming the blocking can hold up and you can get him down the field, how big of an attention grabber is he going to be when he's taken off on a vertical 40 yards down the field? What does that open up underneath?
Yeah.
I think it's a really interesting part of this offense.
You certainly think he's benefiting everybody, right? He's going to draw, particularly if he is effective early, he's going to draw a double. And when he draws a double, that means more advantageous coverage for everybody else. And DeAndre Hopkins knows how to take advantage of that. I think Boyd, you know, certainly has benefited from that kind of coverage when he's playing with Jamar Chase and T. Higgins. So he's very familiar with that and knows, particularly if teams are zoning, how to find soft spots in the zone. Chig and Wiley would benefit from that. The backs are going to benefit from that. And nobody has backed off of the Titans in a long time.
Yep. Like even AJ.
Even when they've had somebody that's threatening, Derrick Henry has been the number one guy.
Yep.
All right? If you're game planning against the Titans for the bulk of the last 8 years and you sit down and say, who do we need to stop? Derrick Henry's always been the answer. Now who's the answer? You hope that the answer is Calvin Ridley. And if it's Calvin Ridley, you're being defended in a completely different way than you've been defended when the answer was Derrick Henry.
And also, don't we think,
and we'll find out more about him this year, but don't we think one of the strengths right now of Levis's game is the deep ball and his ability to throw the deep ball and Ridley kind of bringing that new element? Like A.J., when A.J. was here, he could catch the deep ball. He made plays down the field. But A.J., you know, I don't think anybody thought of A.J. Brown as a burner. Like Calvin Ridley can run. Like that's what separates him. And I'm interested if Levis gets some time. I would think that's a big part of his skill set is throwing that deep ball. Knowing when to do it, when not to. You know, learning the nuance of that is important. But I think that connection has some serious potential given the skill set of both of those guys.
Absolutely. You know, and they need to hit their share of home runs, but he also needs to be a little bit more wise with when he takes some of those shots. They talked through a couple of those. He talked through one of those with Albert Breer. Callahan did when they looked at film of Levis together. Like, hey, this was a great throw, but it was a risky throw. It wound up incomplete, and you had a first down over here in the flat. So I'm looking at Joe Burrow right now, right? Throw away his rookie year. 2021, when he had a completion percentage of 70.4 that led the league, threw for 4,600 yards, 34 touchdowns, 14 interceptions, 8.9 yards per attempt.
Yep.
But that's gone down, 7.4, 6.3. I think that's somewhat by design. So they take their shots, but there's a lot of short passing in the Cincinnati offense.
And he's really good over the middle.
Yeah,
and
now, Levis is not by nature really good over the middle. So, I mean, this is a develop. There's so many developments for us to watch, right? Burrow's really good over the middle. They would like to incorporate those passes over the middle. They've certainly worked with Levis to get him better, and they will throughout camp at throwing those passes over the middle. But then, how good is he at that? And how much do they incorporate it? Well, if he's not gotten that good at it, they're not going to force it. You know, it's not going to be a high percentage of what they do. Hopefully he's gotten better at it enough that they can throw enough of a percentage there. But, you know, if he's not that good at it, they're not going to throw 60% of their passes over the middle if he's that much better on the perimeter. So those are all things that we're monitoring in the big, big Levis picture.
Yeah, I mean, his arm strength, I get it. Like the throws to the outside, the throws outside the numbers, like he should be really equipped to do that. That is one part of his game at Kentucky. And then last year, again, with the offensive line, it's hard to judge it too much. But I guess that's one part that I'm worried about slash very curious to see with Callahan this year, the coaching him up of making decisions where if you make a mistake over the middle, it's going back the other way. Like can he take a big stride in that area this year? Because to your point, like I think for this offense to operate the way that Callahan wants it to, they need to be able to throw the ball over the middle.
And I didn't think it was his touch that was a problem in terms of his accuracy as much as his placement.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Last year. So, and I thought the touch was something he needed to work on. Early in training camp last year when we watched him or when we saw him in practice. And, you know, he missed a chunk of camp and preseason because of that. Was it a quad? You know, he had that leg wrap. But even watching him in this spring stuff, I think the touch is developing. It's a matter of placement and anticipation more than that. And I think they're working on all of those things. And, you know, it's a work in progress. Where can he get with those things? Those are the things that are going to make or break him in terms of just how good he is.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More coming up next with Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com. We'll take your thoughts on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as the Sounds take on Memphis. Pregame at 5:45, first pitch 6 o'clock. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Sounds baseball presented by Twin Peaks, Family Leisure, Five Points Roofing, Caudill Vet Clinic, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Adam Bingham, Nick Kieser, Paul Kuharsky here with you on this Wednesday morning. We'll be joined by Jonathan Marchessault, newest member of the Nashville Predators. in about 10 minutes. We'll get to his thoughts on joining the Predators, how he came to that decision, and the opportunity that is now in front of the Predators after their big free agency period coming up here in just a few minutes. So Jonathan Marchessault coming up at 8:40. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. PK, I look at the opportunity now in front of the Titans as well. We've talked about the money that they've spent this offseason. There's so much that's going to come down to the secondary, as we've talked about, as PK is in an absolute war with his microphone right now.
I hope that the producer is watching this and he's got an Allen wrench or something handy to fix it after this show. Look, you see what's happening here? The microphone just falling into my lap. I can broadcast from down here. Let me sit on the floor.
Just go get some Blue Chew, man.
Blue Chew?
I mean, if I put it way up here, it's straining my vocal cords.
I think you're talking about ginger chews. Blue Chew is an entirely different thing.
Yeah, that is true. They did just fix that microphone, PK.
Well, let them know whatever they did.
Poor job.
Was not effective.
The suit is out of the building, too.
I'll just sit on my foot. I'm now sitting like a middle school girl. Not that middle school boys don't sit like this too, as far as I know. I've not been in a middle school classroom lately. They don't really let you wander in there.
I feel like you have to sit.
I can't get over Nick telling you
chair.
To take some Blue Chew, yeah. Which is basically just Viagra. Blue Chew. Yeah, you don't need any of that.
Suggested Viagra would solve my problem.
I mean,
it would make one area of me bigger that would not help me reach the microphone with my mouth. But nice try.
Fly is open. Let's go pee.
That's right. Boy. The ginger chews, though, yeah. always acceptable.
They help my stomach also, which wouldn't help me reach the microphone.
I don't even know where I was going with the Titan stuff.
Yeah,
something about free agency, I believe.
Yeah. So on the
spending money.
Spending money. You spent a lot of it this last offseason. If you could pick one of the Titan signings that you could guarantee to hit, as Joe Rexroad is texting us about Blue Chew now, who would it be? Would it be Ridley? Would it be Snead? I'll count him in this because it was a trade, but then they signed him. Would it be a Woozy? Would it be Pollard? I mean, there's a lot to choose from.
I'm
going
to go Cushenberry.
Cushenberry, okay.
I mean, I think all of those guys have cases, right? But, I don't know. I have a slight concern about Ridley getting distracted. I have a slight concern about L'Jarius Sneed's knee. Slight concern about, I don't know. I think they all look great on paper. But I think Lloyd Cushenberry is up-and-comer who, has gotten great reviews from offensive linemen I know and respect. I think he's a big upgrade over Aaron Brewer, despite PFF's ridiculous rankings. I think he really wants to be great, has talked about that, came largely because of Bill Callahan. I think he's going to be a steady, much improved option on the offensive line who helps calm things down and it kind of sets a tone whether we feel it outwardly or not.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great one. And I still, with him specifically, and then particularly if Latham hits, what a difference that makes for Skoronski. Because tell me if you disagree. I thought Skoronski was okay last year, probably not to the level that you expected him to be when you pick him number 11 overall. Now, having said that, what was around him was not good. So how much of that was him? How much of that was the situation around him?
Yeah, appendectomy set him back.
Yeah, appendectomy set him back. I mean, there's a lot that went on last year. So the combination of Cushenberry to his right, Latham to his left, and Bill Callahan, like how much better is he going to be this year, I think is probably an under-discussed part of this offseason.
Yeah, I think significantly better. I feel really good about the offensive line center to left. Right. Then the questions are center to right.
Yeah.
And that's where Callahan needs to work his magic. That's where I think the raw tools of Sadiq Charles or Raidens and hopefully Petit Frere are enough to build the rest of the line to a get by level with a strong left side, will be sufficient for year one. And then next year, if those guys aren't good enough, that you can get better. Also, the health question, you know, on that offensive line. You need a line that plays together for 17 games, yep, ideally, or 14, ideally, you know, whatever is reasonable to expect there. But you can't be putting a different line on the field every couple of weeks, which it felt like is what they were doing last year based on injuries. You know, when you have your number one pick have an appendectomy week two, it's hard to sustain anything. And, you know, if something like that were to happen to Latham, knock on wood, they'd be in big trouble.
Your concern level if Petit Frere isn't ready to go by the start of camp?
I think he'll be ready to go by the start of camp. If he's not ready to go by the start of camp, I would be concerned. If it's, you know, if they say it's a couple more days, that would be weird, first off. You know, if it's a week, fine. If it's 3 weeks, that's big trouble.
I think he needs as many reps as he can possibly get. Now, look, I mean, they've got some other bodies out there. Like, let's say he's completely healthy. Are you totally convinced he's a starting right tackle?
I'm not totally convinced he's a starting right tackle. I'm totally convinced he's at the front of the line.
Okay.
To go. I would think he's at the front of the line, Duncan second in line, Watson third in line, or maybe fourth in line with I don't know where the new guy, the other Cleveland guy they got fits in. But they've got a lot of depth there. And I think people are getting a little carried away with where all of these guys plug in. Some of these guys are getting cut.
Yes.
Some of these guys are getting cut and not on the team. Some of these guys are getting cut and they'll be on the practice squad. But, like, people are very high on Leroy Watson, who spoke very well for himself, is very dedicated to Callahan. But there may not be a spot on the roster for the guy.
Yep.
And then they're plugging him in at right tackle. I mean, he was playing very low during minicamp and OTAs when Petit Frere and Duncan weren't out there.
We'll try to keep PK's microphone together for the next segment. We'll have Jonathan Marchessault coming up next as well, new Nashville Predators forward. Get his thoughts on his decision to sign with the Predators. All that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Adam Bingen, Nick Kieser, Paul Kuharski here with you on this Wednesday morning. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and say hello to the newest member of the Nashville Predators, Predators forward Jonathan Marchessault. Jonathan, good morning. How are we doing?
I'm good. How about you?
We are awesome. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. First off, welcome to Nashville. Excited to have you here and to see how you guys do this year. Jonathan, just as you were going through your situation, obviously, you know, an emotional time for you with everything going on with Vegas. As you were identifying what you were looking for in your next team, what stood out to you about Nashville? What ultimately led you to the decision to become a Nashville Predator?
One of the things I think is the way they worked last year. I don't think, like, on paper everybody would have thought that they would make the playoffs, but the way they work and they played the right way, I think, made them super successful. And I kind of like, that's kind of part of my style of game, you know, just a hardworking mentality. So I kind of like that. And also, like, I've played in a lot of nice cities, and I played in Tampa, I played in Florida, I played in Vegas, and I think Nashville is probably up there with them for the nice cities to play in. That definitely it intrigued me.
What about what else the team was able to accomplish the other day? Obviously yourself and the pedigree that you bring, but also Steven Stamkos, who you're familiar with, Brady Shea, you've got Forsberg and O'Reilly and Yossi and Saros already here. What do you make of kind of the team that's now been constructed around you here in Nashville?
You know, it's fun to be part of that. I mean, you want to be an organization that want to win, that want to spend to the cap and, you know, give yourself the chance to win every year. And I think with the way they worked last year and the way they were, I think it really showed that there's a lot of character in that locker room. And now we added some pretty good players, I think. So I think it's going to make us a playoff team. And when you get to the dance, anything can happen.
Jonathan, you mentioned this in your first answer to Robbie, but the reason why July 1st was considered such a banner day for the Predators is because it demonstrated that Nashville has become a destination for NHL players. How has the perception of Nashville evolved over the years among NHL players, both in terms of the organization itself and the city, the quality of life that you can have here?
Yeah, it's the lifestyle, right? Like I've heard just good things about the lifestyle here, and it's been something that I want to be in with my family. So I think it's one of those things, like the weather is nice, the living situation, the community over there is great. And you know what, for a guy that comes from the outside and you come to the rink in Nashville, and it's always a really, really tough building to play in because it's so livable and so fun with a great atmosphere. So that's something that is super fun as a hockey player to be in.
In your interview with TSN right after you signed the contract with the Predators, you said you felt that there wasn't a decent offer on the table from the Golden Knights to stay, and that you don't think they tried their best to keep you. Kelly McCrimmon, Golden Knights GM, responded to that later in the day, said, quote, couldn't be further from the truth, and that he would disagree with that. How far off was the Golden Knights' best offer compared to the deal you signed with the Predators?
Well, obviously I want to move on and stop talking about it, right? But one of the things that I didn't like, it was not like a traditional offer. They offered me something that it's called deferral, and that's pretty far off to me. So the end result was probably around the same amount, but it was along the years. So that's what I didn't like, and I don't think that I deserved that deal at the time, and that's why I was not the kind of guy that wanted to like explode the bank or anything like that. I wanted a good deal for a team that wants to win. And you know what that I like with Nashville is they didn't win yet, so they're eager to win. They want to win, and I think that's what I wanted to be part of.
It's a pretty unique story for a guy to have his first 40 goal season after he turns 30. Coming off your career high 42 goals, what's your off-season training program like? How do you work on your shot and the finer details to keep improving as you continue to get older?
Well, right now it's about working out. Like, I'm really focused on my off-ice workout right now, and when I get back to the ice, normally more around end of July, early August, that's where I kind of push the pace and I get back to my shot and my routines and all that kind of stuff. I think I like being off the ice for a while. Obviously, when you go back, you feel terrible. But I mean, that's what is pretty nice about is when you we have more time than people think. Like day one of the regular season is October 10th, so we're still like pretty far off. So normally, when I do like a full month of August and September, and after like we get into October, I think like when you get an age like me, I'm 33, like training camp is part of the process to get back to where you are. Like, it's not about the preseason games to be good or anything like that. It's about getting your lungs in the right spot and your mind in the right spot too. And and it's all about getting ready for the first game of the season.
Jonathan, you broke into the NHL with the Lightning. They gave you your first opportunity to play significant games. Obviously, you were there with Steven Stamkos. I understand the two of you talked as you were both deciding to sign with the Predators. Just how you know Steven Stamkos, we've talked a lot about the impact that he can have, but as someone who actually played with him, was in a dressing room with him, how much of an impact do you feel that Steven Stamkos, who in a similar situation to you, thought he might be in Tampa for his entire career, just like you thought you might be in Vegas for your entire career? You're both motivated. What sort of impact do you think that Stamkos could have on this dressing room?
Well, obviously off the ice, he has so much experience. He has so much, like, he's been through everything a hockey player wants to go through, you know, like gold medals, Team Canada, Stanley Cup winner, all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, it's presence. It's pretty nice to have around the room, but he's a unique player. He's one of the best every year, and for the reason of he can change the game at himself with one shot, you know. So it's like he's a game changer, and I think that's something that is super good to have on your team.
Jonathan, we were going through, you know, after the big day the other day, what a potential power play could look like. And we'll see what, you know, Andrew Brunette and the coaching staff decides to do. But the idea of yourself, Stamkos, Forsberg, Yossi, O'Reilly, all on one power play unit together, what kind of stands out to you about that potential kind of setup there on the power play? And what do you think your biggest strength on the power play is?
Well, I'm a guy that is pretty good at finding open ice. I put myself in situation that I'll get open and I can, and I have a quick release. So I just need the puck in a good spot and I normally can finish a job pretty well. So it's about being connected all together, I think. And I think if obviously it's going to need some time to figure out, but yeah, it could be definitely something really, really good and really positive for a group.
Jonathan Marchessault with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Jonathan, you obviously know what it takes to win. You're a Conn Smythe winner. You've won a Stanley Cup. A lot of guys on this team, from yourself to Stamkos to Shen to O'Reilly, are Stanley Cup winners. What kind of stands out to you about just how hard that process is and what it takes to play your best hockey and win when the playoffs come around?
You know, there's no secret to it, really. Your game needs to be a good spot when you come in. You don't want to come in off a five-game losing streak or anything like that. I think you got to turn the corner around in February and play some good hockey. I think that's how it is. Get some wins, play some good hockey, play the right way. And after, you got to keep that along. And a lot of things needs to happen to win. One of the things that is important is you need everybody to be healthy. You know, it's something that can be a huge factor along the road. And I think you need to be healthy and play some good hockey and be all in sync together.
How proudly do you wear the King of the Misfits nickname, given the journey it took to win the Conn Smythe and to go where you took an expansion franchise?
Yeah, I mean, that's something that I was really proud of. You know, we really started from nothing. And everybody said we would be so bad for a while, and we made it a playoff contender right off the bat. So it's something that I'm super proud of. And within 6 years, we brought a Stanley Cup to the city. So I think that's something that I'm really proud of, and that I'll be able to cherish the rest of my life.
Well, Jonathan, we're really excited to get you here in Nashville. Excited to see you guys play this year. Thanks so much for taking time to be with us this morning, and we'll talk to you soon. Congratulations on the deal.
Thank you, guys. See you soon.
Absolutely. Predators forward Jonathan Marchessault, our guest on Robbie and Rex.
Not interested in deferrals.
Not interested in deferrals. I thought that was pretty first off, good question, Adam. Pretty interesting response he had there.
So in that sense, is he talking like the Stamkos reported deal that Tampa got?
It sounds like it. Yeah. That was my takeaway from it.
So reportedly, Tampa offered Steven Stamkos an 8-year contract with a $3 million per season cap hit in order to keep him. So it sounds like the Golden Knights were trying to do the same with Marchessault. And they're
– spread the money.
Yeah. Their GM said when Marchessault approached them for 5 years, they were not interested because according to him – the data did not support giving a 33-year-old a 5-year contract. Yep. And in most cases, that is the case. But Marchessault, you know, has been an effective player through his 30s. As you just said to him, Paul, you know, scored a career high in goals in his mid-30s. That doesn't happen very often.
Yeah.
And he's been a player who's been underestimated. He went undrafted, you know, broke into the league. And as he just said as well, took a team that nobody expected to be good and took them to a Stanley Cup final in their first year of existence and won the Cup within 6 years.
And look, it's not an NHL thing. It's a pro sports thing that to get an older guy, you know, you're probably going to have to pay back end years when maybe he's not going to be what he is right now. That's kind of the way the game works.
I know he's not an older guy per se, but isn't that what Shohei Ohtani did with the Dodgers? Didn't he take?
Took almost all deferral.
Yeah.
And look, Bobby Bonilla, it was just Bobby Bonilla day.
What a guy.
As Willie knows.
Yeah. And one of the big lawyers on Twitter says, you know, everybody makes fun of the Mets for that. But it's better to pay the guy later than to pay him current.
Yeah.
Like, you keep the money longer. Everybody wants to keep the money longer. We just talked to a guy who who didn't want to defer the way Bonilla deferred. So everybody thinks Bonilla is a genius for getting paid later, but the fact of the matter is, it would have been better for Bonilla if he got the money earlier.
Yeah, this could be really interesting. I mean, they've got the DNA here in terms of the way they set this thing up. It could be really good. I mean, if Marchessault is what he was last year, you're talking about a 40 goal, 70 point guy who is a proven playoff winner. Stamkos 40 goals, 80 points. Forsberg had 48 goals last year. Like they got the makings of a dynamic offense, which, as we talked about with the Titans, the more we could get some more offense around here, I think the better off we all be.
The question for me is the segment of the Nashville population that tunes into the Predators after football season.
Yep.
All right. They'll be interested early to see. All right, I'm going to check this out, see what it looks like with this new offense, potentially much higher scoring than they've been. Then do they stay? Do they make room for the Predators during football season? Because if they are, in fact, that team.
Yep.
Or do they still, you know, our attention spans are so bad now, we don't follow multiple things at the same time, particularly in the South with football going on. That, to me, would be a transformation for the Predators if they could hold that audience in the fall.
Yeah, no.
And not just reacquire it in January.
Yeah, it's a great point. And, look, I think I haven't seen any numbers yet. My guess would be that ticket sales after the other day have been very good. That would be my guess.
And so, what's up with Bally's?
Yeah, exactly.
That's another big one.
Watch the game. That would be nice as well.
Got to get that resolved.
Gentlemen, happy 4th of July. Hope you guys have a wonderful Independence Day.
Been a pleasure. Up. During the 4th of July, when you're traveling around, don't block the box. And be sure to lock your locks.
Don't block the box. Be sure to lock your locks. We're going to be back on Monday. We're off Thursday
good
and Friday.
You.
So an extended weekend coming up.
Rex Roy will probably be here maybe.
We assume.
Once. He's been on vacation quite a bit.
He might show up to work. We'll see
what
happens
if he's
on
still on the show or the logo will have changed.
It could have. It might have happened.
Presented by Blue Chew.
That's going to do it for us today. Up. Hope everyone has a great weekend. Jason, Big Joe up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
See ya.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.